This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's hard to fathom how much the stock market fell 30 years ago tomorrow. From Marketplace, I'm David Brancaccio. First President Xi Jinping delivered his big speech today to kick off China's Communist Party Congress, an event that happens twice a decade and which will set leadership and the agenda in the world's second largest economy for the next 5 years. It was no tweet. It ran 3 hours long. The Chinese president said that both China and the world are in the middle of a complex set of changes and laid out a plan for the next 3 decades to make China a, quote, great modern socialist country. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson has more.
This Congress, it's a big deal, says Ishwar Prasad, a professor at Cornell University.
Many China watchers see Xi Jinping already as one of the most powerful leaders that China has had since Mao Zedong. And the expectation is that at the end of this party Congress, Xi's stature is going to be even higher.
All eyes will be on who's chosen for a special leadership committee. Prasad says they'll likely be Xi loyalists, meaning he'd have little resistance to any policies he wants to pursue in his next term. Meredith Shumpner with the Eurasia Group expects Xi to focus on economic policy, like trying to rein in China's growing debt. Also,
more top-down industrial policies that are designed to favor advanced manufacturing, technology, agriculture, and other areas of what the Chinese call the real economy.
But Sumter warns China's focus on its industrial and manufacturing sectors could mean more trade tensions with the U.S. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. The 100-share index in London is up 0.3%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up. Dow future up 59 points. The Dow closed above 23,000 for the first time yesterday. 10-year Treasury yield at the moment up at 2.33%. Now to October 19th, 1987, 30 years ago tomorrow. Then, as now, the days were getting shorter and gloomier, and there was free-floating fear about a widening trade deficit, the U.S. buying from abroad so much less than we were exporting, and the dollar falling. Well, let's bring in veteran New York Times business reporter Diana B. Enriquez. Her new book is called A First-Class Catastrophe, The Road to Black Monday, the Worst Day in Wall Street History. Thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here, David.
Let's just contextualize this. I can say a 22.6% drop in the Dow. That's a sort of anodyne way to say it. In present terms, that's like the Dow today falling like 5,000 points.
In an afternoon. And it was twice as bad as the worst day of 1929, worse than any single day in 2008.
Now, we're going to get into perhaps the more important precursors to this, but just give me a sense. What lit the match just before Black Monday itself?
Well, it's always fun to play 2020 hindsight and go back and pick your favorite cause. But the fundamental reasons were that a selling panic broke out among institutional investors, some of them selling for reasons that had nothing to do with fundamental assessments of the market, of the economy, of the political situation. They were selling because computer-driven strategies told them to sell.
In the book, you point to a key set of players here, and it is a situation that was relatively new by the 1980s. This is really big funds that were quite interested in the stock market.
Yes. These were pension funds, giant mutual fund, index funds.
University endowments.
It were university endowments, absolutely. Charitable endowments, Rockefeller Fund, the Ford Foundation funds. For generations, these giant investors had stayed in the quiet, safe havens of the bond market. But then the bond market was in turmoil in the 70s because of galloping interest rates, galloping inflation rates. And they were underwater. These bond portfolios were losing value every day. And beginning around 75, big institutional investors, and I mean giant institutional investors, started to shift assets into the stock market at exponential rates. But then in August of 1982, it was like the Oklahoma land rush. They just moved in major amounts, pursuing very similar strategies, many of them based on academic theories that allegedly would be reducing their risk. But suddenly, we as a nation were confronted with the fundamental question we should always ask: how good is this strategy if everybody tries to do it at the same time? And that's where we were on Black Monday.
And so you, here in 2017, have very large institutional investors sometimes pursuing similar strategies.
You do indeed. In fact, I recently saw that BlackRock, one of the largest asset managers in the country, because of some recent expansion, is just shy of $6 trillion under management, and much of it devoted to what they call passive investment strategies. Now, there's only a small number of passive investment strategies. So Black Monday was like the crystal ball crash. It showed us where we were going. It showed us the future at nanosecond speed.
Diana B. Enriquez's book is called A First-Class Catastrophe. We also talk about the perpetual pattern in America of not fixing what was broken on Black Monday 1987. That part of the conversation is on demand at marketplace.org. Now, it's one thing for a self-driving vehicle to tool along Interstate 40 in North Texas with no other cars in sight, but what about Robot Big Shot trying to drive in New York City traffic? There's word General Motors is about to be the first car company to test autonomous vehicles in New York City. Robot Chevy Bolts, all electric. What is the algorithm to not block the box when you cross the intersection and the traffic ahead suddenly freezes? Will the robot car get distracted by the semi-naked cowboy in Times Square? GM stock is up about 25% since it announced its very electric, very self-driving future a couple weeks ago. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.